Amen. Let's take our Bibles, please, and turn to Deuteronomy chapter 24. Deuteronomy 24. Looking at part four of looking at the matter of Islam. Deuteronomy 24. I was talking to a long-haired fella out in the street this week, and he was trying to give me some challenges, so I was giving him some challenges back. He asked me if I'd ever read Darwin's book, Origin of Species, and I asked him if he'd read through the Bible. Well, he hadn't. And I said, "Is there something you're afraid of in there? Are you afraid to read it?" And he was one of those college-type young fellows, you know, that thought he knew it all. And so pray for him. Amen. Deuteronomy 24, shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we thank you for your precious word. And I pray now the Holy Spirit would speak to our hearts from it. In Jesus' name, amen. Deuteronomy 24, and let's begin in verse 3. Deuteronomy 24, verse 3. And if the latter husband hate her, and write her a bill of divorcement, and giveth it in her hand, and sendeth her out of his house, or if the latter husband die, which took her to be his wife, her former husband, which sent her away, may not take her again to be his wife. After that she is defiled, for that is abomination before the Lord. And thou shalt not cause the land to sin, which the Lord thy God giveth thee for an inheritance. Well, we've looked at several contradictions between Islam and the Bible. Now, Islam claims that they believe in the books of Moses, the Old Testament. They claim to believe in the gospel, the New Testament. But they would say, but God spoke to Muhammad and gave further information in the Quran. But we've been looking at some contradictions between the Quran and the Bible. The first contradiction we looked at was naming of the animals. The Quran teaches that God named the animals and then brought Adam in and taught Adam all the names. That is not right. The Bible is very clear that God brought the animals to Adam and he named them. Contradiction number two was the object of worship. The Quran teaches that Satan fell because he got mad because he wouldn't bow down to Adam. The Quran teaches that God told Satan to bow down to Adam. The rebellion of Satan was contradiction number three. Contradiction number four was the place of animals. Contradiction number five was the treatment of wives. Now they tell them, and we saw last week, to beat their wives if they don't obey. And of course, in parentheses, it says lightly. But we looked at last week, the Bible never, never teaches a man to beat his wife. Contradiction number six, if you're taking the notes tonight, this is a new one. Contradiction number six is remarriage after divorce. In the Quran, and once again, their chapters are called surahs. So in Surah 2, in verse 230, you thought Psalm 119 was long. The Quran, Surah 2, in verse 230, it says this, I quote, "So if a husband divorces his wife irrevocably, he cannot after that remarry her until after she has married another husband and he has divorced her. In that case, there is no blame on either of them if they reunite." So very clearly it says, if a husband divorces his wife irrevocably, he cannot after that remarry her until after she has married another husband and he has divorced her. So it's saying, okay, a man divorces his wife and decides he wants to remarry her. Well, he can't do that until she first goes and is another man's wife and he divorces her. And then it says, then basically it's saying, well, then the blame is equal. You know, he's divorced her, and so it seemed like she was innocent. Well, so he can't remarry her. You know, it's almost like you got to be on equal playing ground. So what she's got to do is go out and get remarried and divorced, and then they can remarry. Let me read another verse out of that same chapter of the Quran, Surah 2, verse 232. It says, I quote, "When you divorce women and they fulfill the term of their iddah, do not prevent them from marrying their former husbands. Now, that's exactly the opposite of what the Bible teaches, what we just read here. In verse 3, it says, verses 1 and 2 are talking about getting divorced. And verse 3 says, "And if the latter husband hate her, and write her a bill of divorcement, and giveth it in her hand, and sendeth her out of his house, or if the latter husband die, which took her to be his wife, her former husband, which sent her away, may what? May not take her again to be his wife, after that she is defiled, for that is abomination before the Lord." And it even goes on talking about that causes the land to sin. Does that remind you of something? Like abortion, Numbers 35, it pollutes the land. And so the Quran teaches that a man can marry his former wife, but only after she's married someone else. The Bible teaches the exact opposite. Now, the Quran cannot be the inspired word of God when it contradicts the Bible. And it was a clear contradiction of God's word. What does the Bible teach? 1 Corinthians 7. 1 Corinthians 7. The Bible does not teach divorce and remarriage. The Bible teaches reconciliation. If a woman goes out and then marries someone else and gets a divorce just so she can go back to her previous husband, that contradicts many teachings in Scripture. But 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 10. "And unto the married I command, yet not I, but the Lord, let not the wife depart from her husband. But and if she depart, let her remain what? Unmarried, or be what? Reconciled to her husband. And let not the husband put away his wife." This is not a game of getting even. If a man divorces his wife to try to say, well, you know, they can't get back together unless she goes out and does the same thing, the Bible does not teach that. So a husband and wife can be on a level playing field to go out and sin. I mean, that's like Adam and Eve. Eve took of the fruit and gave to her husband with her, and he did eat. Now, they both were punished. It was not God's will for Adam to go ahead and eat too. You know, God didn't say, okay, well, Eve took of the fruit, and now Adam, you took of it too. So now you've both sinned, so we'll just cancel it out. You know, it's kind of like English, you know, two negatives make a positive, you know. No, two sins never cancel out sin. It's never right to do wrong. So the Quran is wrong here. It's a definite contradiction of the Bible. Okay, contradiction number 7. Let's go to Matthew 16. Matthew 16. The person of Jesus Christ. Now, we could spend several weeks on this, what the Quran says compared to what the Bible says. But I'm just amazed that people in high places, not only politically I'm talking about, but religiously, how they try to flatter Islam, trying to say that we serve the same God. In the Keener brothers, as I mentioned there last time, the Keener brothers have a couple books out, and they talk much about it. But they gave an illustration there. One of the Keener brothers was doing a debate or a talk anyway in front of a college audience. I think that was a college audience. And anyway, there was some Muslim people there in the crowd that were able to ask questions, and the man was trying to get one of the Caner brothers to look bad anyway. So one of the Caner brothers just asked the man, said, "Do we serve the same God?" And the Muslim man said, "Of course not." But the news media would have you to think that Allah is the same as the God of the Bible. In fact, there are some nationally known preachers who try to make you think, and I'll give you a quote from one at the end, but try to make you think that the Muslims are serving the same God, the God of the Bible. They call him Allah. Well, Allah is not the God of the Bible. Notice in Matthew 16, verse 13. Matthew 16, 13. "When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, Some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others, Jeremiah or one of the prophets. He saith unto them, But whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, Thou art the who? The Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, What? Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my who? My Father which is in heaven. I want you to notice there in verse 17 that Jesus blessed him for his answer. Jesus said, It wasn't flesh and blood that revealed this answer to you, Peter. It was my Father which is in heaven. Well, what was his answer, verse 16? That Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. The Muslim considers that blasphemy, to say that Jesus is the Son of God. Let me give you some quotes here from the Quran, Surah 5, verse 17. I quote, In blasphemy, indeed, are those that say that Allah is Christ, the Son of Mary. For to Allah belongeth the dominion of the heavens and the earth. They are saying very clearly, remember, to them, Allah is God. And they very clearly say, In blasphemy indeed are those that say Allah is Christ. So they are saying, Allah is not Christ. God is not Christ. Christ is not God. Well, hold your place here, if you would. We'd like to come back here, Lord willing. But let's go to Matthew chapter 1. Matthew 1 and verse 23. Is Jesus God? Matthew 1, 23. Matthew 1, 23. Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son. And they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is what? God with us. It was important enough. This name was important. I don't know if you looked up the meanings of names when you had your children, but we tried to look up the names and see what the meaning was and tried to find some good meanings, and that's not always easy. But the Bible here, it's important enough that God interpreted the meaning of the name. Emmanuel means God with us. Who is this? Verse 21. She shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name who? Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. So this is Jesus. This son, verse 23, is Jesus, God in the flesh, God with us. Now, as we said in Surah 5:17, the Quran says that's blasphemy. The Quran says it's blasphemy to say that Christ is God. And it says that anyone who believes that, their abode is hell, it's fire. In Surah 5, verse 72, says they do blaspheme who say Allah is Christ, the Son of Mary. Whoever joins other gods with Allah, Allah will forbid him the garden, and the fire will be his abode. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 1. Is that what the Bible says? Hebrews chapter 1. As we already saw, Jesus blessed Peter for his answer, saying that he was the Christ, the Son of the living God. Hebrews 1. In Hebrews chapter 1, we have God the Father addressing God the Son. Hebrews 1, verse 8. But unto the Son he saith, Thy throne, O who? O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. So God the Father is addressing the Son and calling him God. The Muslim considers Jesus no more than a messenger or a prophet. In Surah 5, verse 75, the Quran says this, I quote, Christ, the Son of Mary, was no more than a messenger. Many were the messengers that passed away before him. Very clearly, saying he's not God. It's blasphemy to say he is God. He was no more than just a messenger. Notice in 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5. The Muslim considers it blasphemy to say that God is a Trinity, that God is one in three. They consider that blasphemy. In 1 John chapter 5 and verse 7, the Bible says, "For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are what? They're one." This is what the Quran says in Surah 5, verse 73. "They do blaspheme who say Allah is one of three in a Trinity." Very clearly. So this Muslim man, you know, the news media would try to persecute us and condemn us for saying that Allah is not the God of the Bible, and yet the Muslim man himself would say, "No, we don't serve the same God. Our God is not the same." When they say it's blasphemy to say that Jesus is God, they say it's blasphemy to say that God is a Trinity, one person and three. They don't understand. They do not believe that. In fact, the Muslim would say that it's blasphemy to say that Jesus is the Son of God. This is what the Quran says in Surah 6, verse 101. I quote, it says, "How can he, God, have a son when he hath no consorts?" And Noah Webster's 1828 dictionary defines consort as a companion, a partner, an intimate associate, a wife or husband. So he says, how can, the Quran says, how can God have a son when God doesn't have a consort? He doesn't have an intimate companion. He doesn't have a husband or a wife. How can God have a son? Well, wow, the Bible talks a lot on how God has a son, and he was born here. Look in Isaiah 7. Isaiah 7. Isaiah chapter 7. The Bible prophesied that the Son of God would be born on earth. And of course, there's all different groups, that cults, you know, that teach a God having a physical relationship. Some of them saying Adam was God, had a physical relationship with Mary. That is all wrong. Isaiah 7:14. "Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a what? A virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel." We read Matthew 1:23, and that's interpreted as God with us. Emmanuel is God with us. Now notice, if you marked your place there in Matthew 16, would you turn back there for just a moment with me? Matthew 16. Remember, the Muslims say it's a blasphemy to say that Jesus is God. It's blasphemy to say that Christ is God. It's blasphemy to say that God is a Trinity. It's blasphemy to say that God has a son. Matthew 16, or they say it's cursed. Matthew 16, verse 16 here, it says, "And Simon Peter answered and said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Blessed," not cursed, "blessed art thou, Simon Barjuna, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven." The Muslim says anyone who believes that Jesus is God, that Jesus is the Son of God, their abode is hell, it's fire. That's not what Jesus said. And Peter calls him here, verse 16, the Son of the living God. So, Jesus blesses Peter for that. The Muslim would have to curse Peter for what he confessed. The Quran says in Surah 9, verse 30, the Christians call Christ the Son of God. That is a saying from their mouth. In this they but imitate what the unbelievers of old used to say, Allah's curse be on them. How they are deluded away from the truth. That's the Quran, Surah 9, verse 30. They're saying Christians call Christ the Son of God, and they say Allah's curse be on them. Well, my friends, please notice in Matthew 16, verses 16 and 17, Jesus blesses Peter for saying, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. There's not a curse upon people who profess that Jesus is the Son of God, God in the flesh. There's not a curse upon those people. There is a blessing upon those people. The Bible makes it clear that Jesus is God and that he is worthy to worship. The Muslims say this in Surah 9, verse 31. I quote the Quran. And they take as their Lord Christ, the Son of Mary. Yet they were commanded to worship but one God. There is no God but He. Praise and glory be to Him. Far is He from having the partners they associate with Him. So they're saying these Christians, they take Lord as their Christ, the Lord as their Christ. And they're saying, but they shouldn't take him as their Christ. They worship the Lord Jesus Christ, but they should only worship one, and that is, to them, Allah, or God. And over in the Quran I have read, they keep talking about it's frequent. They'll talk about these Christians associate partners with God. And every time you see that word in the Quran, they associate partners with God. They're looking at us saying, We're placing equals to God. In other words, that Jesus is God. And they're saying God doesn't have any partners. They're saying there's no Jesus Christ, Lord Jesus Christ. They're saying there's no Holy Spirit. They're saying God has no partners. There's no Trinity. But the Bible makes it clear that Jesus is worthy of worship, and only God is worthy of worship. Notice several verses with me here. Matthew 2. Matthew chapter 2. Matthew chapter 2. People worshiped Jesus and were not rebuked for it. Jesus is worthy of worship because he is God. In Matthew chapter 2, in verse 1. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen a star in the east and are come to what? To worship him. To worship him. We read Hebrews 1:8. In fact, let's turn back to Hebrews once again. Hebrews chapter 1. Excuse me, there's many other verses here in Hebrews chapter 1 that talk about the Lord and he is worthy of worship. In Hebrews 1 and verse 1. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son. And if you go down here in verse 6, Hebrews 1, 6, and again, when he bringeth in the first begotten into the world, he saith, and let all the angels of God do what? Worship him. So God the Father is saying, let all the angels worship him. Worship who? Worship the Son of God. He is worthy of worship. In verse 8, as we already read, he calls him God. Unto the Son he saith, Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. Now, how can anyone honestly say that Muslims and Christians worship the same God when the Quran very clearly tells Allah does not have a son? Is there any doubt but what God, the God of the Bible, has a son? Look at John 3:16. You know what? This used to be the most well-known verse in the world. John 3:16. You know what we're told now is the most well-known verse in the world? Matthew 7:1. Judge not that ye be not judged. That's people's favorite verse. Oh, don't judge me. Don't judge me. Well, they need to realize that because of our sin, we will be judged. Our sin was judged on the cross, but if we don't accept Jesus' sacrifice on our behalf, we will be judged, no doubt about it. John 3:16. The Muslim I've already given you the quotes out of the Quran. The Muslim would have to say John 3:16 is blasphemy. For God so loved the world that he gave his only what? Begotten Son. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. They would say, strike that verse out. That's blasphemy. Verse 17. For God sent not his what? His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Well, strike that verse out. The Muslims would say that is blasphemy. Verse 18. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten what? Son of God. Strike that verse out. All three verses here, the Muslims would say that's blasphemy. God, Allah does not have a son. Well, if Allah doesn't have a son, then Allah is not the true and the living God. Period. And he is not. And you know what? They are confessing with their own mouths and in writing, in the Quran, they're confessing that they are not willing to admit, they are not willing to admit as much as Satan is. Notice in Matthew 4. Satan is willing to admit more than they are. Because you know what? Satan knows Jesus is the Son of God. Matthew 4 and verse 3. Matthew 4, 3. And when the tempter came to him, he said, if thou be what? The Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Then the devil taketh him up into the holy city and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple and saith unto him, if thou be the who? The Son of God. Cast thyself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. Jesus said unto him, it is written again, thou shalt not tempt who? The Lord thy God. He is the Son of God, and he is God in the flesh. The Muslims are not willing to admit as much as Satan is willing to admit that Jesus is the Son of God. The Muslims are not willing to admit as much as the demons know. Notice in Matthew 8, Matthew chapter 8, and verse 28. Matthew 8, 28. The Bible says, and when he was come to the other side, into the country of the Gergesenes, there met him two possessed with devils, coming out of the tombs exceeding fierce, so that no man might pass by that way. And behold, they cried out, saying, what have we to do with thee, Jesus, thou who? Son of God, art thou come hither to torment us before the time? The demons know more, are willing to admit more than the Muslims. They admitted, Jesus, thou Son of God. The Muslim in the Quran says that's blasphemy. You know what? The demons know that isn't blasphemy. They knew who was before them. They knew that he could torment them before the time, verse 29. And they feared him. The Jewish leaders understood more of what Jesus was saying than the Muslims. Notice in Matthew 26, Matthew 26, in verse 63, Matthew chapter 26, in verse 63, the Bible says, but Jesus held his peace, and the high priest answered and said unto him, I adjure thee by the living God, that thou tell us whether thou be the Christ, the who? The Son of God. Jesus saith unto him, thou hast said. Nevertheless, I say unto you, hereafter shall you see the Son of Man sitting in the right hand of power and coming in the clouds of heaven. Then the high priest rent his clothes, saying, he hath spoken what? Blasphemy. What further need have we of witnesses? Behold, now you have heard his blasphemy. And they condemn him to death. Verse 66. Listen. You cannot be like the Muslims and say Jesus was a prophet. And they would say he was a great prophet. You cannot say he was a great messenger. Because the Jewish leaders clearly understood he was not just claiming to be a prophet, he was claiming to be the Son of God. And for that, they condemned him to death. The Jewish leaders knew more than what the Muslims are willing to admit, that Jesus claimed to be the Son of the living God. Notice in John chapter 5, oh, there's many, many verses that talk about Jesus being the Son of God, God in the flesh. In John 5 and verse 16, John 5:16, therefore did the Jews persecute Jesus and sought to slay him, because he had done these things on the Sabbath day. But Jesus answered them, my Father worketh hitherto, and I work. Therefore the Jews sought the more to kill him, because he not only had broken the Sabbath, but said also that, who? God was his what? His Father, making himself what? Equal with God. You know what? You are just as much a part of your family as your father. You're not less of the family. Whatever your last name is, you are as much a part of that family. Your father cannot come to you and say, well, you're less of whatever your family name is. You're less than I am. He can't say that. You're just as much a part of that family as he is. And the Jews understood this. If he is claiming to be the Son of God, he is God. He is God in the flesh, making himself equal with God. Notice in Matthew 27, this is the scene where Jesus is hanging on the cross. And I want you to notice how many times it's mentioned that he is the Son of God, a confession which the Muslim would say is blasphemy. Matthew 27, 39. And they that passed by reviled him, wagging their heads and saying, thou that destroyest the temple and buildest it in 3 days, save thyself. If thou be the what? The Son of God, come down from the cross. You see, they knew who he claimed to be, the Son of God. And so they're all casting this back at him. If you're the Son of God, why don't you come down? They knew who he had claimed to be. Notice verse 30. Verse 54. Now when the centurion and they that were with him watching Jesus saw the earthquake and those things that were done, they feared greatly, saying, truly, this was the who? The Son of God. The centurion, he's just a soldier, a Roman soldier over 100 other soldiers. When Jesus died and he observed what took place, all he could say was, truly, this was the Son of God. Where did he get that idea? Because that's what Jesus preached and taught, that he is the Son of God. The Roman centurion would admit more than the Muslim would admit today, a Roman soldier. Notice with me in Mark chapter 1. Mark chapter 1. How can they say the Old Testament and the New Testament and the Quran are all from God? There's definite, clear contradictions. Mark chapter 1 and verse 1. The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the who? The Son of God. Yeah, the book of Mark starts right out confessing. The Muslim would say, cursed be Mark, who wrote such a thing. Blasphemy. Well, it's not blasphemy, it's the truth. The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Notice in John chapter 1. John chapter 1. What about John the Baptist? Are you going to write off his ministry too? How can you say the Quran is inspired scripture and the New Testament? There's too many contradictions. They can't both be from God. John 1, verse 29. What did John the Baptist preach and teach? John 1, 29. The next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him, and saith, Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, After me cometh a man which is preferred before me, for he was before me, and I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore am I come baptizing with water. And John bare record, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him, and I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, Upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizeth with the Holy Ghost. And I saw and bear record that this is the who? The Son of God. He was looking at Jesus and he was saying, I was told from heaven that upon this one whom ye see these things happening, this is the Son of God. The Muslim would say, blasphemy. John the Baptist, your abode is in the lake of fire. Cursed be John. No, not cursed. Blessed be John for his confession that this is the Son of God. Notice in John chapter 5, John 5. I want you to think about these proofs, these many proofs. And I'm going to give you a quote in just a moment from a well-known preacher. John 5, verse 20. John 5, verse 20. For the Father loveth the Son, and showeth him all things that himself doeth. And he will show him greater works than these, that ye may marvel. For as the Father raiseth up the dead and quickeneth him, even so the who? The Son quickeneth whom he will. For the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the who? The Son. That all men should honor the who? The Son, even as they honor the who? The Father. He that honoreth not the who? The Son honoreth not who? The Father which has sent him. You can't have it. You can't say that Allah is God and worship only him while dishonoring the Son, claiming that he's not God. It can't be. You dishonor the Son, you dishonor the Father as well at the same time. Now, how can you honestly say that Allah and the God of the Bible are one and the same? You can't. You cannot say that. And it is utter ignorance to say that. And yet, Billy Graham, in an interview with Robert Schuller from California, said this, and I quote, this is what Billy Graham said, That's what God is doing today. He's calling people out of the world for his name, whether they come from the Muslim world, or the Buddhist world, or the Christian world, or the non-believing world. They are members of the body of Christ because they've been called by God. Listen to this. I'm still quoting. They may not even know the name of Jesus, but they know in their hearts that they need something that they don't have. And they turn to the only light that they have, and I think they are saved, and that they're going to be with us in heaven. Did you catch that? Of all these different groups, in the Muslim world, the Buddhist world, the Christian world, the non-believing world, they might not even know the name of Jesus, but they know in their hearts that they need something that they don't have. And they turn to the only light that they have, and I think they're saved, and that they're going to be with us in heaven. End quote. Billy Graham. Mr. Schuller speaks. I quote, What? What I hear you saying, that it's possible for Jesus Christ to come into human hearts and soul and life, even if they've been born in darkness and have never had exposure to the Bible? Is that a correct interpretation of what you're saying? End quote. Graham speaks again. I quote, Yes, it is, because I believe that. I've met people in various parts of the world in tribal situations that they have never seen a Bible or heard about a Bible and have never heard of Jesus. But they believed in their hearts that there was a God, and they've tried to live a life that was quite apart from the surrounding community in which they lived. End quote. You know what that is? That is works. that is works. That's a false gospel. That's not a true gospel. You know what? If that were true, what Billy Graham said, we're fools to send out missionaries. Fools. We're fools to waste money on sending out missionaries. And every missionary who has gone forth was crazy to go and suffer when it's not necessary. If all a person has to do is believe in the light and do good, you know what? That's not what God told Cornelius. Notice with me in Acts chapter 10. Acts chapter 10. Here was a lost man who was good. He prayed all the time. He gave alms. He gave gifts to people all the time. But you know what God did? He warned him to call for a preacher. In Acts chapter 10, verse 1, there was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian band, a devout man and one that feared God with all his house, which gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always. Well, you know what? If Billy Graham is right, then this guy was saved. He was doing everything he knew to do, but he wasn't saved. Verse 3, he saw in a vision, evidently about the ninth hour of the day, an angel of God coming into him and saying, Cornelius. And when he looked on him, he was afraid and said, What is it, Lord? And he said unto him, Thy prayers and thine alms are come up for a memorial before God. And now send men to Joppa and call for one Simon, whose surname is Peter. He lodgeth with one Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the seaside. He shall tell thee what thou oughtest to do. And he did exactly that. Peter came and preached to him. In verses 34 and on, he talked to him about Jesus, verse 38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power. Verse 39, whom they slew and hanged on a tree. He told him about Jesus' death for his sins. He told him about the resurrection. Verse 40, him God hath raised up the third day. Verse 42, he commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify. It is he which was ordained of God to be the judge of the of quick and dead. To him give all the prophets witness that through his what? It wasn't through good works. It wasn't through doing the best that you could. It's through his what? His name. Whosoever believeth in him shall receive what? Remission of sins. And they did. While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word. And you notice in chapter 11, verse 14, Peter is relaying all this to the Jews. And oh, they're mad at first because he went into the Gentile. But notice what Peter said in Acts 11, 14. He was telling what was told to Cornelius. Who shall tell thee words whereby thou and all thy house shall be what? Saved. You can't be saved apart from the name of Christ. Look at Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. You know what? It doesn't matter what some preacher thinks. It matters what the Bible says. The Bible does not teach that people in foreign heathen lands can be saved just by doing the best they can and following the light. You know what? Psalm 19, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day and day utter speech, and night and night showeth language, his language, there's no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. But you know what? That's the witness that there is a God that ought to send them seeking like Cornelius. But they can't be saved unless somebody tells them how. Notice in Romans chapter 10, verse 9. Romans 10, 9. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be what? Saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture saith, Whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed, for there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon what? The name of the Lord shall be what? Saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? Well, Billy Graham would say, but they don't have to. They don't have to. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him in whom they have not what? Heard. And how shall they hear without a preacher? You know what God did to Cornelius? He says, Cornelius, send for a preacher. He's going to give you words of warning. And Peter tells us how to be saved. He wasn't saved. Verse 15, and how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them which preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. The Bible very clearly says that Jesus is the Son of the living God. He is Emmanuel, God with us. He's God in the flesh, John 1:14. And there's no other way to be saved apart from His name. The fact of the matter is if people in heathen lands who do not have the Bible, if they never hear about Jesus, the Son of the living God, they will die and go to hell. That's what the Bible says. And that's what moves us to respond and give out the gospel. What about here? What about in Greenville? Why give out tracts here? Why go door to door here? Hey, if people are doing the best they can, it's good enough. But it's not. It's not good enough. They'll die and go to hell. How sad, how sad to say that the Muslims, the Buddhists, the unbelievers, if they'll just do the best they can, that they'll go to heaven. How sad to say such lies, because that's what it is. They'll die. If they die without Christ, they'll go to hell. And if they die with a Jesus who's just a prophet, just a messenger, they'll die and go to hell. There's only one that can save, and that's God. God in the flesh. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Thy word is truth. Sanctify them through thy word. Thy word is truth. Lord, I pray you'd help us. We are living in such a confused day, when political leaders are confused, when religious leaders are confused. Lord, help us to be in the Word, to know the truth. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy Word is truth. Lord, I pray that you would help us to realize that the Muslims are a people whom you love and you want to see saved. And Lord, help us not to fall into the trap that they're okay in their religion. Lord, help us to realize that indeed they are blaspheming the Son of the living God. So Lord, help us to be able to reach them. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.